Isn't that a wonderful thought? That he takes care of us? What does that verse say? Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. He careth for you and I. That is a wonderful thing when you think about the God of all creation. Well, that he came onto this earth. He sent his son to die for us. And that he loves us. He sent his son to die for us so that we could have everlasting life. And then he watches out over us and takes care of us. All of the details. We don't even have to worry about any of them. He knows all of the details. And I can say for 47 plus years now that I've been saved that he has cared for me all through that time. And I certainly haven't been faithful through those, you know, many, many times through those years. So praise the Lord for that. All right, one thing that I need to make clear or clarify is I mentioned to my wife, I think it was a couple weeks ago, and I didn't get it into my notes, but I told her that she could have the auditorium. They need the auditorium for practice tonight for the Christmas musical, and this will be tonight, not next Wednesday, or not next Sunday. That's when we have the Inbodens here, the following week on the 15th as well. So that puts us over in the Saints Fellowship Hall tonight. So 6 o'clock, I'll be bringing that message out of 2 Timothy, but we'll be in the Saints Fellowship Hall in regard to that. All right, now to the matter at hand. Again, so good to have the Soults here. Brother Soult brought forth a great, great message this morning. I hope that you were here for Sunday school about the lessons from the shepherds out of Luke chapter 2. But going back a little further, I'm thinking about just our first meeting. It was great talking to them on the phone, talking to you, brother, and scheduling you here. I believe it was last year in November that you were here, I think it was the second week. We all went, my wife and I, and the Soults out to Olive Garden on Wednesday for lunch. And when we were eating, it was dumping outside. I was like, I'm looking at it as it's dumping, and I'm looking at my brother and saying, brother, I don't think you're going to preach tonight. And that's how it played out last year. We ended up canceling our services, so we never got to hear, we never got to see the Soults here in church. We got to meet them and spend time with them. But that worked out well as far as in time, because when we had our missions conference in April, they were able to be here for a few days of that, and we got to meet the Soults then. And as a result of that, we took them on for support. But what a blessing they are. Remember to be praying for Rachel in the last couple of months of her pregnancy, that the Lord will be with her and make sure to take care of her. And then, brother, it's just great having you here. So I'm going to turn things over to you. Thank you again for being here. Amen.
It's a joy to be with you all. Love your pastor. Love your church. You guys are a blessing. It's like I said this morning, it's like picking up where we left off. And, oh, are we not on? Testing. Are we there? Oh, I must have flipped it off between here and the service. Anyway, it's a joy to be with you all this morning, and thank you for your welcome. Many of you have said welcome back to us, and it's good to see you, and those phrases like that, and I know you mean that, and it's good to see you all as well. And then to meet some new faces and meet new people and those that are visiting. And Brother John, come back sometime soon and hear preacher preach. You know, I'm sorry you get to hear me this morning, so short end of the stick. He's great. I love your pastor here. I listen on the live stream every now and then, and he's got an energy about him. The Lord uses him, and just thank you for your attendance this morning, and everyone that makes up Cornerstone Baptist Church. It's a joy to be with you this morning. Luke chapter 2, we'll go back to Luke chapter 2, and we did that this morning, and as I said, if pastor's going to be in Luke chapter 2, he'll probably fix all my doctrinal errors sometime this month, so we'll leave that to him. But for now, let's go back to Luke chapter 2, and we'll do a little bit more in the Christmas focus this morning. This is where I was studying yesterday for today's lesson. This was actually the fourth point to the Sunday school lesson this morning, but then God just spoke to my heart and said, all right, I want you to run with this and go into a whole message with this, and it's just spurred into just a heart of praise to God, and that's what we want to bring forward to him, amen? And I fail so many times, but I want to bring that forward to you this morning, and may the Lord use this time. Luke chapter 2. And let's look here in verse 20. Of course, this is after the shepherds have experienced the angels and seeing Jesus and telling everybody about him. Verse 20 comes. The Bible says, we'll read this verse and we'll pray. The Bible says, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things which they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, thank you for Cornerstone Baptist Church. Thank you for this time, the Sunday morning time, where we can gather together, we can focus on you, we can worship you. Thank you for the song service and the songs that have lifted you up, and we want to give you that heart of praise. And thank you for all that's going to happen throughout this week, Lord, and the activities and the focus that this church has on getting the gospel out, Lord. And I pray you continue to bless them, put a hedge around Brother Garcia and his wife, Lord, and those that serve here, and we'll give you all the praise for that. Please set me aside, Lord. I do not desire to speak this morning. I desire for you to use your word and magnify yourself through the passage. I just want to be a mouthpiece for you if you would so use me, and I'd be humbled by that. And we'll give you all the praise for what you're about to do. In your name I pray, amen. I'm ready to jump into the message, to be honest, but I do need to give you an update. So can I give you a short update, and then we'll go jump back to Luke 2:22. So keep your place. If you haven't heard about our family, and thank you, Brother Jones, for that presentation. That was an encouragement to us to know that you are keeping us in your prayers and forefront and up there on your wall in the back. Thank you for putting our prayer letters up. Those that read our prayer letters, some of you come up and spoke to about our prayer letter to us. That's an encouragement. That really is. And we're reporting back to you. We're humbled that you would send us back to you. We're really humbled. We're humbled that, number one, the Lord would use us, but that you would go as far as to partner with us. And we're enjoyed by that. Right now, of course, we're in the period of time between our son coming and us going to England. And originally, plans were all well laid set back last June that we were going to England in January. We told all our supporting churches. The week after that, my wife comes to me and says, I believe I'm expecting. And I'm like, well, praise the Lord. Answer. This is an answer to prayer. We've been asking God to give us another one. He saw fit to choose this time. It floored us. I had to fall, pick myself up off the floor after that, let everybody know plan B's in action. And God has worked through this time. There's been some scary moments. We thought for a period of time we lost our son, but he is doing well. Everything's much more improved. God's people have prayed. God has heard. My wife has rested as the doctor told her to. I traveled by myself for about 8 weeks while she stayed back with various different family members. God helped us. Thank you for praying for us. God is still helping us. We're right now in the process of still moving forward with getting as much as we can do while we wait for our son to come. And what you're giving is doing right now, when you give in the offering plate and it's a check is sent to the Salt family, just know this. This year, as we've gone out and we've given out the gospel, we've had the joy and privilege to witness to 61 people across our country. 19 of those people accepted Christ. So we're trying to be faithful with what God has blessed us with. 2 Corinthians 9 talks about ministering seed to the sower and multiplying the fruits of your righteousness. We take that heavily. It's a heavy responsibility before God and before you. We want you to know that we're working on getting the gospel out. Deputation was a 2-year and 2-month process. During that time, we visited 148 different churches, over 46 different states. And God just guided us that way. It was a lot of traveling. What you're giving doing right now, what it's working towards, is getting us back to England. We've had some unexpected costs. The visa for my wife costed $6,800. The shipment to send over goods to England was about $1,800. Legal fees of $2,800 because of the visa and my daughter's citizenship. Now we're going for fingerprints. That's a $1,500 expense. And if you add all together, that's just under $13,000. But God has provided through your giving. I'm not here asking for money. You already gave. God provided. It's taken care of. So I want you to know what you're giving, it's working towards us getting back to you. We'll give all the Lord praise for that. Let's go back to Luke chapter 2, verse 20. I say all that to say, give you an update. Thank you for partnering with our family so we can get back to England to work with those people. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. They had an experience with Christ, and that prompted them, as it should you and I, to give praise back to God. Amen? Amen. That was their response to that victorious, amazing night. And my friends, you and I have that same responsibility. We're going to move out of Luke chapter 2. We're going to actually use this passage as a launch pad to go to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. The shepherds have this experience. They go out. They encourage each other to do God's will. They go out and they go with haste. to get God's will done. They move forward in accomplishing that. And they go and tell other people, and then they finally give praise to God. And that's where the message is going to be today. The title of the message is Giving God Continual Praise. Giving God Continual Praise. Hebrews chapter 13 goes in line with this. This is a passage that has been near and dear on my heart in recent weeks. And of course, we had a time of thanksgiving, and we're thanking God for His goodness and His many blessings to us. And I hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving. I hope you took time that day to reflect and give God thanks. In England, we don't have a day in our calendar. Growing up, I grew up in England. Some of you may have not heard that yet. You certainly don't hear my English accent because it's not there. But anyway, I grew up over there. I was born over there. My parents are still over there as missionaries. But one thing they don't have in their calendar is a day of Thanksgiving. Really, Christmas Day for my dad's church over there is Thanksgiving, kind of like a Thanksgiving service. We actually have a service Christmas Day. We give thanks to God, and that's kind of our time. But we don't have that Thanksgiving Day like our country does. And it's a very special thing that we do to give thanks back to God. Praise is extolling or magnifying God in our mouth and in our lives and who He is. And going to His attributes and His qualities and who our awesome God is and telling Him that and giving that praise back to Him. We see that being mentioned here in Hebrews chapter 13 and how we are to do this continually. The Bible says in verse 10, we have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood, suffered without the gate. We're going to get to verse 15 talking about continual praise, but to understand verse 15, we need to look back to the Day of Atonement sacrifice that occurred. There was a time in the Jewish calendar, and they still recognize it today. However, that sacrifice has been paid. We can look back to the cross, amen? Yep. But before the cross, as they looked to the cross, going back thousands of years, all the way back to Genesis chapter 3, there was a moment of sacrifice. And God had instituted a day called the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, as it's known very commonly, which is the 10th day of the 7th month. And during that day, the priest would remove his official garments, put on a white linen. There would be a sacrifice that occurred. Blood from that sacrifice would be taken into the Holy of Holies and sprinkled on the floor before the Ark of the Covenant. Sacrificing the blood applied, amen? The blood's been applied. Amen. We can look back now, but they were looking forward to one day that blood being applied. And then there was also a moment during that Day of Atonement sacrifice where they had two goats, and they would draw lots. One goat would be called the scapegoat. Heard that term before? That scapegoat would be released out into the wilderness or outside the city, and it would basically go away. Just like a picture of our sin, when we get saved and we ask Him to save us, He remembers our sin no more. Right. It's God. The account is cleared. Wow, what a Savior. And then they would take that other goat, and that goat would be sacrificed. And then you get verse 10. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. During that sacrifice, the priest would get no portion of the animal. The animal was fully sacrificed before God. The Bible says in verse 11, for the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. They are taken away from the place of sacrifice and they are destroyed. Then we get verse 12. Wherefore Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood, suffered without the gate. Just like the bodies of those beasts were burned outside the camp, our Lord was taken outside the city and He was taken out to that hill called Golgotha. The place of the skull. And our Lord willingly went to that place. He could have called the angels. They would have delivered Him like that. But our Lord bore the shame and the humiliation of my sin upon Himself. The sin of us all. The sin of the whole world. He went through a moment of eternity where there was a separation between Him and God the Father, where He cried out, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? Because God is holy. He cannot behold sin. He had turned His back on our Lord while my sin was put upon Jesus. And for a moment of time, there was a period of separation, and then he gave up the ghost. He said, it is finished. He decided when it was finished, and it's finished. He died, and then 3 days later, he rose from the dead. God the Father said, that sacrifice is enough. We're talking about giving praise to God. So let's move forward through the passage, but we got to understand it's because of the cross we give praise. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. No longer must we go into the temple for sacrifice. No longer do we need to go to a tabernacle. Remember, this book, the book of Hebrews, is geared to the Hebrew people, but God's people. You and I read it, and it applies to us as well. But Paul, I believe, is speaking to the Hebrew people, saying, hey, no longer do you need to go into the temple. No longer do you need to go into the tabernacle. It's been paid for. Leave that place and follow Jesus. Amen. Yeah. Accept his atoning blood on your life, and now move forward to that heavenly place, that city that one day you and I will experience, that heavenly home. It's just around the corner. Glory's coming soon. Verse 15. So now we understand the context. Let me get into verse 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God. What's the next word? Continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. The shepherds, after they experienced the coming of Jesus, the angels' revelation, the opportunity to spread the word abroad, they gave praise to God after that moment. You and I, after experiencing a day at the cross in our lives, after experiencing the shed blood, accepting that atonement on our lives and saying yes to Jesus, I accept your gift of salvation. Bible says in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Just like the thief on the cross hung right there next to Jesus. He recognized Jesus was God. He recognized he was a sinner. He said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Christ said to that man hanging next to him, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. It is not through a ritual. It is not through baptism. It is not through church attendance that you and I attend salvation. It is only by saying yes to the shed blood of Jesus Christ and accepting his gift of salvation. When was that day for you? When did you call upon Jesus? When you do that, you then now can do verse 15. By him, therefore, let us, God's people, offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name, but to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Want to be pleasing to your God? He demands praise. He requires us to do this on a continual basis. That, my friend, is not limited to a Sunday morning service. Right. That, my friend, is not limited to a Sunday night or a Wednesday night or even a Thanksgiving day or Christmas day. That, my friend, is a lifestyle of praise. God desires, number one, for you and I to give praise to him from our mouth. He desires that. He requires that. If you've accepted him, you've had a day at the cross. And if you haven't had that day, if you're sitting here and you're not sure that you're going to be in heaven one day, you're concerned about that, today's a good day to get that settled. But if you're sure and you've accepted Jesus, you can remember that moment in time when you made that decision, just like that thief on the cross. He could take us to that day in his memory, recorded in scripture, where he said yes to Jesus. If you can do that, your mouth should give praise to God continually. That's a lifestyle. We're going to explore. I've just finished the end of Psalms. You're going to have to follow with me for a little bit. Let's run over to Psalms 95. You don't have to keep your place over. Psalms 95. We're going to talk about our mouths being used to give praise to God. Some good examples, of course, are found in the Psalms. We love the Psalms. I'm sure you do. We read the Psalms. It's very common during Thanksgiving time to read Psalms. Psalms 100. Last Sunday night, I was in a service. I heard Psalms 100 preached out. Oh, wonderful. It was a great time. Psalms 95, the Bible says, talking about using our mouths to give continual praise to God. Oh, come, for Psalm 95:1, oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. That's giving praise to our God. Giving praise to our great King. How did the kings of this earth respond to the first coming of our Lord Jesus Christ? King Herod wanted to kill him, didn't he? Go into Bethlehem. Every child over 2 years old, under 2 years old, kill them. That was his response to the coming of our Lord. Herod, before at the time of Christ's birth, that Herod had our Lord clothed in purple and they mocked and humiliated him. His kingship. Pilate, representing Caesar, had a placard put upon over our Lord's head. Here is the King of the Jews. Remember that? That's how the kings of this earth responded to our Lord. But you and I, we should respond to our Lord and say, you're our great King. And one day they too will do that as well. There's a day in Revelation where they will be on their knees giving praise to God. It's coming soon. Get with the program. But you and I, as God's people, let's extol him for who he is. He is the King. He is the King of kings. Giving praise to our God. Make a joyful noise unto the rock of our salvation. Do we use this mouth to give continual praise to our God? He seeks that from us. He's looking that for us. He requires that from us. Turn with me, Psalms 106. Many psalms start with praise and thanksgiving. Many of them are prayers. You and I in our prayer life, as Christ prayed, gave us the model prayer, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Starts with praise. Prayer should start with praise. Psalms, they start with praise, and many of them were either songs or prayers. The Bible says, for Psalms 106:1, praise ye the Lord, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can show forth all his praise? Blessed are they that keep judgment, and he that doeth righteousness at all times. Who can show forth all his praise? Reflecting praise back to God. He wants to hear it from our mouths. When you and I sing a heart of praise, is being given back to our God. Do you sing praises to God on a regular basis? Someone give you a compliment on something in your life, do you give praise automatically back to the Lord, or do you keep that for yourself? Oh, well, thank you very much. Oh, yeah, I knew I was good at that anyway. No, all praise to God. I am what I am because of him. I have eternal security because of him. I have a purpose to life because of him. Right. Praise God. Do we praise the Lord continually? Think about that lame man in Acts chapter 3. Remember Peter and John met that lame man? Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Lazarus, rise up and walk. And he went walking and leaping and praising God. You and I have been healed. We've received his gift of salvation. Amen? Do we walk up and leap and praising God? Is that part of who we are? Or is there something else going on? Turn with me, Psalms 138. The angels sang praise to God in Luke chapter 2. Amen. There's going to be moments of heaven. There's going to be entire heaven where we're going to be giving praise to God continually. Let's start now. Let's not wait till then. Psalms 138. Let's get into a warning, though. Psalms 138. I read this the other day, just grabbed hold of me, and I'm going to share it with you this morning. Psalms 138, verse 1, the Bible says, I will praise thee with my, what are those next two words? Whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all that in thy name. That word loving kindness is God's loyalty to fulfill his covenants. He will keep his word. We already have seen that in past prophecies fulfilled. Amen? And there's more to come. He will keep his word. He's coming very soon. You and I will have a place in heaven if we accept his gift of salvation. That's an eternal guarantee. Amen. That you can take in the bank and cash it. It won't bounce.
That's right.
So we praise God for his loving kindness as the psalmist did. Praise God for thy truth in verse 2. His word is truth. Amen. Extol him for his truth. But let's go back to verse 1. I will praise thee with my whole heart. Praise is extolling God for who he is. But notice how the psalmist makes the statement of wholehearted praise. Who knows your heart? Who knows your mind? Who knows your thoughts? God does. He knows where your priorities lie. He knows those secret sins. And he knows when there's a heart of praise being lit, when one is giving praise to him, he knows what's wrong within you and I. It's convicting, isn't it? I fail so many times. He knows my heart. Do I, my friend, give praise to my God with my whole heart? The end of the verse, before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. Before all the other things of this world, all the other distractions, all the other idols that are out there, do I give praise to God with my whole heart? Or am I sharing my heart with something else? It's convicting, isn't it? That's a warning right there. What do you and I, how do we respond to that? Go with me, Psalms chapter 50. We're going to turn things around a little bit. Praise is extolling God for who he is, giving a heart of praise. The shepherds gave praise to God after experiencing Christ. You and I are commanded to continually give praise to God. Those of us who have experienced the cross of Jesus Christ, have experienced the shed blood on our lives, we've said yes to Jesus, we are commanded to give praise. Psalms chapter 50, look with me in verse 16. We're going now down this road of, warning, danger, danger. What are we doing? Is God getting our whole heart? Psalm 50, verse 16, the Bible says, but unto the wicked God saith, what hast thou to do to declare my statutes, that thou shouldest take my covenant in thy mouth, seeing thou hatest instruction and castest my words behind thee? What are you doing, my Daniel Salt, child of God? You say things of mine, but then you do the opposite. The psalmist says, the God saith, what hast thou to do to declare my statutes? Think God takes that seriously? Go with me down to verse 19. Thou givest thy mouth to evil, and thy tongue frameth deceit. Thou sittest and speakest against thy brother. Thou slanderest thine own mother's son. These things hast thou done, and I kept silence. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such an one as thyself, but I will reprove thee and set them in order before thine eyes. Now consider this, ye that forget God. Where do we start? We started with somebody who's talking about the things of God, and now we're forgetting God. Continue on. Lest I tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver, whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. And to him that ordereth his conversation aright, I will show the salvation of God. You think God's serious about this?
Yeah.
This thing of giving praise to God. If we say one thing and we're living another way, go with me, James chapter 3. James chapter 3, we'll keep going down this rabbit hole here. James chapter 3. James chapter 3 speaks about the tongue, an unruly member. Verse 5, even so the tongue is a little member, boasteth great things, but holdeth how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Go down with me in verse 8. We'll pick up there. James 3:8. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Ooh, do you think God takes this seriously? Verse 10, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, people of God, these things ought not so to be. It ought not so to be in the mouth of a Christian to give praise to God and then do one thing over here. To give praise to God and then speak of bitter things. Give praise to God and add criticism over here. To give praise to God and add cursing over here. Oh, my friends, these things ought not so to be. Christ said in Matthew chapter 12 that out of the heart the mouth speaketh. Something's gone in here that's come out here. God desires continual praise out of you and I because of the cross of Jesus Christ. Let's do a heart check this morning. Is there something that's come in that is preventing us from giving wholehearted praise to God? That hits me hard like a train. You and I are commanded to do so. Let us, if that's us, let us get that right today. Because there is forgiveness with our God. He forgives us. Grace is available. Let's get back right with God and move forward in this week because there is hope for the Christian. Amen. There is hope for Daniel's soul. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let us move forward with him. Let's give praise to God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. He chose and called you out, a people for his own. One way he has ordained, a covering for sinners' shame. A sacrifice must pay, for only blood atones. Only one left his throne. Only one begotten Son, only one spotless Lamb could sacrifice. Only one power can save, only one empty grave. Only one narrow way. That is what God desires out of my heart and yours. Let's give that all back to him. Continual praise comes through our mouth. And secondly, and I'll be done today, continual praise comes from how you and I minister before him. Go back to Hebrews chapter 13. We're already in James. Hebrews chapter 13. Verse 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God. Continually, that our lips thanks to his name, but to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. To do good, my friend. You and I are to give praise to God from our mouth and our ministry. Each and every one of us, as a child of God, is called into the ministry. Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. You're saying I'm supposed to be a pastor? There are two positions in the Christian life. There's to be a pastor and to help a pastor. We've got a pastor here at Cornerstone Baptist Church. That means we need a lot of helpers, amen? And you and I have a responsibility to do good before God, to minister. And there are only two groups of people we can minister to, the lost and the saved. The lost need to hear salvation. Lost today and you're not saved. You've heard about Jesus. You've heard that he loves you, how he for you, how he wants you to accept his gift of eternal life. He doesn't want you to go to hell. That's why he came and he died. Now you can say yes to Jesus. And the second group, those that of us are Christians, we already spoke of this morning. We are to be an encouragement to each other. We looked at the testimonies of the shepherds. Let's go to Bethlehem. Look to the testimony of Barnabas, encouraging the church of Antioch. The testimony Paul and Barnabas, encouraging the churches they went through their missionary journey, exhorting one another. We looked at the testimony of the house of Stephanas, how they were addicted to the ministry of the saints. They had a ministry of encouragement. You and I, let's use what God has given us. He's showed us His grace. He's died on the cross. We've accepted His gift. Now we must move forward in doing good before Him. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Who loves it? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. Amen? Amen. Verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. That means, my friend, there's a purpose to our life. After we get saved, we are to move forward for Him to do good. Be pleasing to our God, to go out into the lost, go out into those highways and the hedges, compel them to come in. As Luke chapter 14, verse 23 says, as Jude spoke of, pulling them out of the fire, having compassion to pull those out of the flames. That's what you and I are called to do, to the lost and then to the saved. We are to bear one another's burdens, amen? We are to be an encouragement. We are to gather together as a fellowship of saints. Tick, you did that this morning. That is doing good, my friend. Are we there? Are we giving praise to God from our mouth and from our ministry and what we do? But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for which such sacrifices God is well pleased. You know that word communicate is the same word communicate in Philippians chapter 4, which spoke about Paul communicating with the churches. They communicated with him in giving and in praying. That's communication as well. When we give to God and to His ministry and to the laborers that He sent into the field, you're not giving to them, you're giving to Him. He's blessing the offering. And it's a heart of praise to God. You're giving back to the King. Don't give to the missionary. I guess what? Missionaries can be disappointing. For it happens. Let's give praise to God. That is doing good. And to communicate giving, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. We've gone a full circle today, haven't we? We started in Luke chapter 2. We started with the shepherds giving praise to God. We went to Hebrews chapter 13. We spoke how praise is continual. When those men gave praise to God, that wasn't it for them. They were supposed to live a life of praise. You and I have been told to do so. What are we doing? Are we doing it with our mouth? And are we doing it through our ministry? Or is there something lacking therein? You know, you can't give praise to God, my friend, if you're not saved. Right. He loves you. You can do that today. Yep. Let's all bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We'll go into a time of invitation. Pastor, if you could make your way up here. Thank you for listening this morning, Pastor. Thank you for the opportunity to preach. We're going into a moment of invitation. The message is done. Now it's a moment of decision. If there's someone here and you don't know if you're saved, let today be the day you get that settled. And then, Christian, are we giving praise to God continually from our mouth? Or is there something else in our heart that's preventing us from doing so? Secondly, are we giving praise to God through our ministry? Doing good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. This is His word. How are we living before our God? Father in heaven, Lord, as we go into this moment of invitation, don't leave me alone, Lord. Don't leave me alone on this point. I want to do right before you. Forgive me for those many moments I failed you so much. You're such a forgiving God. Help us as we move forward into this weekend and through this month and through the next year and our lives to give continual praise back to you, because you are worthy. You are worthy of it all. In your name I pray. Pastor, would you come?
Is God speaking to hearts? We're to give God continual praise. That was very, very clearly laid out. Do we do that? Is God speaking to your heart, Christian, about that matter? This is a good time to talk to the Lord. It's a good time to come to the altar if He's spoken to your heart. Now, maybe you're here today without the Lord Jesus Christ. There's never been a time when you've accepted Him as your personal Savior. Then there's no better time than today. I want to encourage you. I want to persuade you to step out into the aisle, to come up here, up to the front. We'll have somebody here that can show you from God's word how you can be saved, how you can know that you have eternal life through that sacrifice that Jesus Christ made for you. Father, we thank you again, Lord, for the message that was brought forth. Help us, Lord, to have hearts of continual praise. Thank you for speaking to my heart. I know I've certainly fallen short with that, but help me, Lord, to make that a further commitment again. Lord, you know that that's where I want my heart to be, but I know I sometimes pitifully fall short. Would you help us, Lord? Help us to do the right thing. Help us to honor you. And Lord, if there's somebody here today without Christ, they don't know for sure if they died that they'd go to heaven. We want to see them be saved. We pray for the Spirit of God to do his work in their hearts. And may the Spirit of God work in every one of our hearts today. We ask it in your name. Amen.